2 Timothy, we're now in chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Our focus is on the first 7 verses. I'll be reading the first 13 verses. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7 is the focus. Reading through verse 13. Hear God's holy word. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It's the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if he died, or if we have died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, the flower fails, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's pray for his blessing. Our Father, we do thank you and we praise you for your word. We know that your word is indeed true, and that what you have here for us is indeed for us. Yes, spoken to a people long ago, but not merely for them. Lord, grant us your blessing now, that we would each, young and old alike, have listening ears, and grant your blessing to he who brings your word, that we would hear what you have for us. And so, Lord, work this evening and speak to us, for we desire to hear our Savior and what you have for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul has been challenging Timothy not to be ashamed of the gospel. And in the first 7 verses of chapter 1, Timothy was called to stir up that gift that was in him. He was fan into flame that gift and that calling as a gospel minister, because the Spirit of God that he has is a spirit of power. Therefore, Timothy is not to be ashamed of the gospel or the testimony of Christ. In fact, why be ashamed of the gospel when Paul knows and Timothy knows that it's by the gospel that we have salvation, that we've been saved from sin? And not only saved from sin, right? We not only have been saved from something, we've been saved to something. We've been saved to the Lord, and we have a holy calling, a high calling. It's not ministers and elders and deacons who have a high calling merely. The Christian is a high calling. That is a office, you might say, and it is a high calling to be a Christian. The grace that we have from the very beginning. Right? God gave us grace even before time began. And in time, that has been shown in the appearing of Jesus Christ. This isn't something to be ashamed of. This is something that we are to boldly proclaim and not be ashamed. And we ought to be willing to suffer for Christ, because we know the one we believe in, and we are persuaded that he is able to keep us to that day, even if our suffering for the gospel brings about our death. In fact, that's an amazing thing, right? Paul is in prison. He's expecting his very death, and he knows that his life, which he's entrusted to the Savior, that the Savior is able to keep him until that day, even if his death comes about. We then saw that discouragement sometimes happens in the church. Verses 15 to 18 sometimes happens in families too, by the way. We don't minister in a perfect world nor in a perfect church. The church will let you down at times. Family will let you down at times. But we ought not get down or depressed or become bitter or cynical, because our hope is in the Lord. We can gain encouragement as well from men like Onesiphorus, who ministered to Paul even when everyone else fled. But Paul is reminding Timothy and us that life and ministry and service to Christ will often bring about disappointment, sometimes great disappointment. But not all of life is disappointment. Not all of ministry is disappointment. There's plenty of blessing and refreshment as well. In the first 13 verses of chapter 2, we again see that Timothy is called to guard the gospel. The first 7 verses, which we're looking at this evening, give some commands to Timothy. And then in verses 8 to 10, Paul gives his own example to Timothy. And finally, in verses 10 to 13, we see a blessing pronounced. But today, as I said, we're looking at the first 7 verses, basically 3 commands here, 3 things we're looking at in regard to guarding the gospel. One, in guarding the gospel, we're called, first of all, to be strengthened. Secondly, Timothy is called here to entrust. And finally, actually, Timothy is called to suffer for the sake of the gospel. To guard the gospel, Timothy must be strengthened. He must entrust the gospel to others. And he must be willing to suffer. Let's begin by looking at the command in verse 1 to be strong. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, again, is addressed as a child, as a beloved child. He's loved by Paul, who's been a mentor and like a father to him. And the command here is for Timothy to be strengthened. The force of the command in the Greek is a continual action. In other words, Timothy, keep being strengthened. Not just go to grace once, but keep being strengthened. And this command is in what we call the passive voice. And that makes a whole lot of sense, right? Paul isn't telling Timothy, children, you know what we mean by the passive voice? In other words, Paul's not telling Timothy, you have to be strong. You, Timothy, muster up your strength. That doesn't work, does it? Because we often find ourselves to be quite weak. But he does tell Timothy to be strengthened, to be strengthened in the grace of God. We cannot strengthen ourselves. We need strength. We face challenges. We face hardships. We face pains. We face difficult things. Timothy was one who was found to be a faithful minister of the gospel, but at the same time, a man who was timid. He was not naturally a strong man. He had some fearfulness, and the task to which Timothy is being called was difficult and hard. There were false teachers in and around the church. Rome was persecuting Christians, and Rome was persecuting Christians in a very serious way. As I've pointed out in the past, Nero lit Christians on fire as torches in his garden. Paul, right now, as he's writing to Timothy, is in jail, and he's expecting to be, as I said, released through execution, not released to let go. Timothy, no doubt, is wondering, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me if I'm bold with the gospel? He also knows that Paul was let down by some whom he ministered to. And he had to stand alone. The church turned their back on him. So guarding the gospel is a difficult work. And Timothy indeed needs to keep being strengthened in the grace that is in Christ. Grace is something that Paul needed continually. It's something that Timothy needed continually. Grace is something that you and I need continually. Not just when we're first converted, not just when we first believe. We need grace to continue going on. We need grace to do the things that we're called to do. We need to be strengthened. We don't have the strength in and of ourselves. Again, Timothy is not told, hey, be strong, pull up your own bootstraps, go for it, work hard. Now, he is called to work hard, but how? Being strengthened. Strengthened in the grace of the gospel. We have no strength of our own. We can't muster it up ourselves. You see, there are two big mistakes that Christians often make. And they're opposite mistakes, and yet they're related. Sometimes Christians live as if God saved us, but now it's all up to me. I have to be strong in and of myself. Lord, save me by grace, and now the rest is up to me. It's up to me to live. It's up to me to be strong. But that's not true. That's not what Paul is teaching us here. That's why he keeps saying to Timothy, right? You need to continually be strengthened. You need grace to make it through each day, each moment. When you feel weak, when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel like you can't go on, lean all the more on the grace of God. Now others sometimes think, the Lord has done it all. Therefore, all I need to do is sit back and relax and let God go. Let God work. In fact, I'm sure you've seen the bumper sticker that says, let go, let God. Brothers and sisters, please do not get your theology from bumper stickers, because a good number of them have plenty of problems. Okay, there's some good things out there too. You might say, well, what's wrong with let go and let God? Isn't that a good thing? Well, we are to rest in God. We are to let go in some sense. But you see, Timothy wasn't told to just let go and do nothing. He was told to guard the gospel. He was told to be strengthened, not sit back. He was called to hard work. You and I as believers have a high calling. We're called to honor Christ in all we do. We're called to hallow Him in all we do. And that usually isn't easy. We need to continually be strengthened by grace. But we are still called to work. Not just let go, let God. Again, if all you mean by let go, let God is don't worry, God's in control, I'm good with that. But let go, let God seems to be saying a whole lot more than just that. We work, but we do so strengthened by grace. And so it's wrong to think it's all up to me. It's not. And it's wrong to think let go and let God. Neither is biblical. The proper attitude, as commanded by Paul here, is keep being strengthened by grace. The grace that's in Christ. Keep leaning on Christ. Keep serving. Keep working. Augustine had it right when he said this, Lord, command what you will, but give what you command. The point was, Lord, tell me to do anything you want me to do, but then enable me. Strengthen me. Grant me your grace, because I cannot do it on my own. You see, Augustine knew that he had hard work to do, and he didn't have the strength himself. But he also knew, right, if the Lord commands it, he'll enable me, and I'll pray that he'll enable me. The college that I graduated from, Reformed Bible College, well, now it's Kuiper, it was Reformed Bible College then, had a motto, Ora et Labora, which Latin, it means pray and work. Right? Not just pray, but pray and work. Our work is fruitless if we're not strengthened by grace. So pray and work. And how are we strengthened? By the grace of God that is in Christ. We pray, we trust Christ, we lean on Christ, we labor hard knowing that He's going to work through us. Paul is calling us to be strong, not to be strong in ourselves, but to be strong, to be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ. And that's the big difference. What God requires of us, He does supply in His grace. And so we see the Christian life is indeed a call to activity, not to let go and let God do all, although God is the one who accomplishes everything. But the Christian life is not one of ease. It's not one of laziness. It's a life of work, hard work. work that can only be done by grace. And if that's true of the Christian life in general, it's certainly true of ministry. The gospel ministry that Timothy has been called to is hard work. He had a very difficult context. But strength comes from God in Christ. So Timothy, guard the gospel and continue to be strengthened by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then Timothy must also realize that he can't do it alone. And so the second verse, Paul says to him, "And what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." You remember that Timothy in verse 14 of chapter 1 had been delegated the gospel as a trust to guard. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Timothy, the gospel's been entrusted to you. But now Paul is saying, Timothy, yes, it's been entrusted to you, but Timothy, you also now, you who are weak, entrust that gospel to other men who will then be able to entrust it to others, who will then be able to trust it to others down the line. We know that there were many false teachers in Ephesus and in the Ephesian church. Timothy was to seek to entrust the gospel ministry to faithful men. Notice these were to be faithful men, right? Not the false teachers, faithful men. And they were to be men as well. We've already seen that ordained ministry belongs to men only, and then only to certain men. 1 Timothy 2:12 said, "I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man, rather she is to remain quiet." And we saw that the qualifications for an elder included the husband of one wife or the man of one woman. And so, women, while they are faithful servants of the Lord, are not permitted in a position of teaching men in the church. We also saw in 1 Timothy chapter 5, it said this, verse 17, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." And so Timothy, preach the gospel, guard the gospel, but entrust it to others. Others who will labor alongside of you so that you're not alone. So a pastor's job includes more than preaching. Train others, faithful men, who can entrust the gospel to others. This itself, by the way, is part of the Great Commission of the church. In the OPC, we've talked about having three program committees: the Committee on Home Missions, the Committee on Foreign Missions, and the Committee on Christian Education. And sometimes I think we wonder, well, why is the Committee on Christian Education included in that? Because of verses just like this. Timothy, train others, teach others, entrust the gospel to others who will go forth. It's through Christian education, right, that we get home missionaries and foreign missionaries. And so Christian education is very important as well, not just home missions and foreign missions. In fact, you know what the Great Commission teaches anyways. It says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Part of the Great Commission, right? Make disciples, teaching them to observe what Christ has taught. That's what our Christian Ed Committee aims to do as well, helping the church in that through Sunday school material, helping the church in that through New Horizons, a magazine which you all, I'm sure, look at, or Ordained Servant, trying to help and encourage and instruct and teach elders and deacons. They also have a readiness for gospel ministry seminar that they put on. They have seminary level classes wanting to train ministers and prepare them. The point I'm trying to get at is the church is to be active in doing these types of things. Part of guarding the gospel is committing that gospel to faithful men who will then teach other men. By the way, over the next few years, there are a good number of older ministers in the OPC who will need to retire. And that need for committing the gospel to other men, for other men to be raised up. It's being seen. It's being recognized. And so we do constantly hear about the harvest being ripe, but the workers are few. Pray for the Lord to raise up other gospel ministers. And by the way, notice again the wording of what is to be committed or entrusted to faithful men. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So what Timothy is to entrust to others is the very thing he heard from Paul. Right? He's not to come up with his own message. He's not to come up with his own gospel. He's not to come up with something different. And those faithful men are not to come up with another gospel either. And so the gospel that is to be preached to you is not some new gospel, not some new doctrine, not some new teaching, but the very same gospel that Paul committed to Timothy, who committed to faithful men, who committed to other faithful men, and so on. The message is the same through all generations. Will there be a different application in a particular situation? Sure, but it's the same message and the same gospel. So guard the gospel includes being strengthened by grace and committing that gospel, entrusting that gospel to others. And guarding the gospel also includes, perhaps to your surprise, suffering. Suffering is part of guarding the gospel. Verse 3 says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Timothy is called a good soldier of Christ Jesus. He's been told to fight the good fight of faith, right? Chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you've made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He's been called in this epistle to stir up the gift in him. He's been entrusted with the gospel. And in a sense, we're being told here, he's a soldier. Now, that's a metaphor being used, but do soldiers ever enter the military expecting a life and a service of ease? Right? Does anybody, whether it's the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, whichever one, does anybody ever sign up for the armed services to become a soldier and say, you know what, I'm doing this because I'm looking for a life of ease? No. They do it willing to sacrifice and suffer. The Lord never promised that ministry would be easy, that the Christian life in serving Christ would be easy. I told you again and again, the Christian life is equated repeatedly in the Bible as warfare, of hardship. We're told in Ephesians, right, to put on the full armor of God. So why is it, tell me, why is it that Christians sometimes get surprised when things get hard? Why do they get surprised and say, well, it's not supposed to be like this? I'm serving the Lord and it gets harder and harder. Why is it like this? You're a soldier. It's not going to be easy. Now, that's not to say that there aren't blessings and encouragements and refreshments. There is. But any veteran will tell you, you endure hardship as a soldier. As soldiers for Christ, we will face hardships. Sometimes more than others, but we will face hardships. And so Paul is reminding Timothy the Christian life and ministry is difficult. Be ready to suffer. Don't be surprised. Don't say, well, it ought not be like this. In one sense, of course, it ought not be hard. We ought not be persecuted, but that is the way it is in a fallen world. So, Timothy, be ready to endure suffering and hardships. And again, remember the context. Paul in jail, in prison, in a hole in the ground, probably literally chained in shackles, awaiting his death. When ministering in the church turns out to be hard, or in life in general, don't be surprised. Don't be distressed. Soldiers of Christ were to endure and continue to serve because we serve a great master. And we need, therefore, to be, as we've already looked at, right, to be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ. Encourage one another. Ministry, life, the Christian life is a challenge. Paul then builds on this metaphor in verse 4. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. The Roman military code forbid men engaged in military service to engage in civilian occupations at the same time. The point was, soldier, you need to be focused. You need to be committed. You don't need distractions. What are we being told here? Soldier for Christ needs to be committed. Doesn't mean that Christians don't have other jobs other than serving the Lord. Of course they do, but they serve Christ in all of these things. But it is the reason why in many churches, in the OPC as well, that when a pastor is called, it often includes a phrase, and that you may be free from worldly care, we promise to give you this and that. Why? So that the minister can be focused on being a soldier. Why do we give money to missionaries? So that they can be focused in their duties, so that they don't have to be entangled with other things, so that they can focus on sharing the gospel with others. Paul then uses another illustration, that of an athlete, showing again that the Christian life and ministry isn't easy. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, athletes in the ancient Greek games were required to come before judges before the contest, and they were to swear by Zeus that they had been training for at least 10 months. That was part of the rules. And if you didn't follow the rules, you couldn't even compete for the victor's crown. So the point here is that the soldier of Christ must be disciplined, must follow the rules of his commander, his king. Paul then uses yet another illustration, that of a farmer. In verse 6, it is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. One of the things I've noticed in serving in North Dakota and now in Michigan for the past 12 years in farming communities in both places is that farmers are usually hard workers. The work of farming isn't easy. It's not easy today. It wasn't easy back then. Farming is hard work. Thus, the farmer is to be the first to partake of the crops. But being a farmer, right, it entails getting up early, long hours. Sometimes when I get up early to drive to Presbytery, I like to joke and say, I'm on farmer's hours for today. But there's hardships in being a farmer, right? You know you have to sow the seed. You know that you have to bring in the crop by a certain time. And you want to bring in the crop, and there hasn't been enough rain, so you wait a little bit longer. Now you're concerned that it's getting a little cold. Then you're ready to pull something off the field and it's still too wet, so you got to leave it for a little bit longer. And then you're wondering, well, is it going to freeze? Am I going to be able to get it off? Some of the farmers could explain that better than I can, but I think you get the general point, right? Farming isn't easy. Same thing in ministry. It's not easy. It takes hard work. I remember talking to a fellow minister about a particular situation many years ago when I was still in North Dakota, and he said very boldly, the Lord doesn't bless laziness in the ministry. Paul then tells Timothy to spend time thinking and mulling these things over. Timothy, you're struggling. Think about these things. Mull them over. Be strengthened in God's grace. Things aren't going to be easy. Be a soldier. Be an athlete. Be a farmer. Work hard. Don't do it on your own strength, but work hard. And so we must guard the gospel as well, not on our own strength, but strengthen ourselves in the grace that is in Christ, entrusting the gospel to others who will pass it along to others, and being willing to suffer with a single-minded focus that God might be glorified, with the endurance and training of an athlete, and the hard-working commitment of a farmer. May God grant us grace. The Christian life is not an easy one, but what a blessing it is to be Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you that not only have you saved us from our sin, but that you have called us to a holy calling. Lord, help us all to realize that the office of believer is a high calling. And so, Father, help us to strive to glorify you in all things. Lord, when hardships come, help us to remember that this does not mean that you have abandoned us, but that we need to lean on you all the more to be strengthened. Lord, help us to glorify you in all things, and may your name be honored. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.